You're listening to Policy Conversations on AIDS.gov. The following audio was adapted from an AIDS.gov blog post. It was written by Vera Yakovchenko, public health analyst at the Office of HIV/AIDS and Infectious Disease Policy, and was originally posted on October 1, 2012. The annual U.S. Conference on AIDS, or USCA, opened on Sunday, September 30, 2012. Among the highlights were two plenary sessions engaging the audience of over 2,000 people and exploring important topics related to aligning efforts to end the HIV epidemic. As the first plenary session began, the session's facilitator, Ms. C. Virginia Fields, President CEO of the National Black Leadership Commission on AIDS, said, "Not without women will we turn the tide of HIV/AIDS." Putting the spotlight on women and HIV/AIDS in America, she shared the latest CDC data indicating that more than 260,000 U.S. women are living with HIV, comprising 24% of all diagnoses of HIV infection in the country. The data also show that women of color, particularly black women, have been especially hard hit and represent the majority of new HIV infections and AIDS diagnosis among women, as well as the majority of women living with the disease. Her remarks laid the foundation for a series of presentations by women leaders from the HIV community, all discussing what is and can yet be done to turn the tide of the epidemic among women. Issues such as ensuring that prevention and care efforts focus not only on individual risk and vulnerability, but also on structural factors and social determinants of health that also influence HIV, such as intimate partner violence, poverty, housing instability, and unemployment. Working to better understand and address the roles that trauma and violence pose to both HIV risk and suboptimal treatment outcomes for women. On this point, a panelist praised the recently established White House Working Group on the intersection of HIV/AIDS, violence against women and girls, and gender-related health disparities. And also, expanding efforts to address and understand the unique HIV risks and HIV care needs of transgendered women. One way to better address the needs of women at risk for or living with HIV, suggested one participant, is ensuring that communities are prepared to take full advantage of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Dr. Bambi Gaddist, Executive Director of South Carolina HIV/AIDS Council, urged participants to do their homework about the ACA, stressing the importance of understanding the changes and opportunities that are unfolding, and ensuring that they are able to help inform state-level decisions being made now and in the coming months that will impact healthcare options for women at risk for or living with HIV. A key takeaway for participants from this session was Ms. Fields' call for a greater sense of urgency to address women living with and at risk for HIV/AIDS in programs, funding, research, and leadership at the community, state, regional, and national levels. The first plenary session also featured Ms. Pamela Hyde, Administrator of the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, who shared highlights of SAMHSA's efforts to address HIV/AIDS while working to reduce the impact of substance abuse and mental illness on America's communities. In discussing behavioral health challenges and opportunities to help end the HIV/AIDS epidemic, she reiterated that violence and trauma are significantly associated with increased risk for HIV infection, and that untreated behavioral health disorders are among the top predictors of poor HIV treatment adherence. She also noted the importance of addressing comorbid mental health conditions experienced by an estimated 50% of people living with HIV, and expressed optimism that the Affordable Care Act's provisions supporting integrated and coordinated care will have a positive effect on the nation's ability to better address those conditions. Ms. Hyde also briefly discussed SAMHSA's role in implementing the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, highlighting efforts underway at the agency to carefully align its portfolio of HIV grants, many supported by the Minority AIDS Initiative, with the strategy. She also highlighted SAMHSA's participation in the cross-HHS efforts to establish 7 common core indicators for monitoring HHS-funded HIV prevention, treatment, and care services, a common set of core indicators for use across all HIV/AIDS programs funded by the department. Ms. Wendy Williams hosted the day's second plenary session, a special edition of her talk show featuring several guests including Magic Johnson. Also among her guests was Dr. David Mailbranch, a physician and researcher from the University of Pennsylvania, who examined some of the significant ways that HIV prevention, testing, and treatment have evolved over time. While hailing the great advances in biomedical approaches to prevention, Dr. Mailbranch echoed one of the themes of the morning's plenary when he observed that HIV is a human disease and it follows structural inequities, which must also be addressed if we are to reach the goal of ending HIV/AIDS. Highlighting the not-so-new face of HIV/AIDS in America, being young black gay men and bisexual men, He urged continued attention to such disproportionately affected populations, while cautioning the audience not to undertake such targeted efforts at the expense of the universal HIV prevention messages, arguing that both are necessary. Ms. Williams then welcomed Ms. Dazon Dixon-Diallo, founder of Atlanta's Sister Love, who shared thoughts on how the treatment cascade can help us end HIV/AIDS. She urged participants to study the cascade, use it, spend time figuring out what it means for your organization and your community. She suggested that such an undertaking could help an organization determine where each of its programs and activity fits, or does not, in helping to improve the cascade for its specific populations of interest. Finally, Mr. Irvin Magic Johnson Jr. joined Ms. Williams for a candid conversation about his experience living with HIV for the past 21 years. He observed that he enjoys good health today because early detection of his HIV infection likely saved his life. He also pointed out the important role that starting HIV treatment and staying adherent has played in his continued good health. On that point, he clarified for Ms. Williams that, "No, I'm not on magical drugs. The same drugs available to everyone else are the ones available to me." The third factor Mr. Johnson attributed to his good health was the support and understanding of his wife, parents, teammates, and friends. Mr. Johnson then highlighted some of the work of his Magic Johnson Foundation, which helps support education to young people and encourages churches and schools in HIV education. He also praised and thanked the conference participants from across the nation for the work that they're each doing to respond to HIV/AIDS in America, and urged them to sustain and grow their passion for their work while also being willing to change and retool their approaches, and even their organizations, as HIV in America continues to evolve. He brought the audience to their feet with a call for each of them to be all in to end HIV, by playing their roles at the highest level they can, and working together collaboratively to capitalize on new opportunities.